Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. I'm Dr. Debbie Lyons, and I am here today with my guest, Brian Kinard. He's the past president of the Hilton Head Real Estate Association. How'd I do?
Hilton Head Area Realtors, Hilton Head Real Estate Association, that'll work.
Pretty darn close, exactly. I appreciate you being here today. Before we get started, one of the things we really like to do is allow our guests a little shameless self-promotion.
Oh, I love that.
I know, exactly. So we want to hear a little bit about your background and how you got to this point.
Excellent. So Brian Kinard with Lighthouse Realty. How did I get to this point? I got to this point in Hilton Head because of a beautiful woman.
Ah, there you go. Well, a little bit about your background, and then I know you've got Cruising with the Kinard. Mm-hmm. So let's hear a little bit about some of the things you do.
Perfect. So about background, full-time realtor servicing the greater Hilton Head area. Helping everybody from investors to first-time home buyers and everybody in between. Cruising with the Kinards is a social channel that Molly and I have been doing for about a year, coming up in June. Mm-hmm. And it is a way for us to showcase what it's like to live, work, and play and raise a family in the low country and in a resort island paradise, because I don't think a lot of people realize that people actually live on this little sandbar.
And what's interesting about the discussion for me is one of the things you focus on in Cruising with the Kinards is multi-generational living.
Yes.
Not only are you and your family, but you have extended family, mm-hmm. and you have outreach and tentacles into the community. And it's age diverse, it's personality diverse. You cover a lot of topics. And I tell you, for anyone who's interested in coming to the Lowcountry, it's a wonderful way to sort of see it in its reality.
And I think you just hit a nail on the head. Al Olivetti and I were talking the other day.
And Al Olivetti is a,
he runs a Hilton Head running company, and he also
does an athlete,
and he hosts about 25 sanctioned runs and races, mm-hmm. and swims and triathlons in the Lowcountry.
Amazing.
Great guy. He has a running club. He was talking about his running club with me the other day, from 20 to 72.
Yep.
All the same run club every week.
Which is really pretty interesting. And I think that's one of the beauties of South Carolina and Hilton Head specifically, is the way that age isn't a limiting factor at all. In fact, it's a very inclusive factor in most things, from lifelong learning to, like you just said, the running club. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to the Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. And I know it's really fun for me when I have the opportunity to sit down and really talk with you, and we talk about real estate, and we talk about multi-generational living, and we talk about the sandwich generation, and how it really, in selling real estate, all of those things are really important to you. Talk to us a little bit about just real estate in South Carolina and your thoughts.
So just kind of in general, just real estate, and, I mean, it's your home, right?
Yes.
So let's look at it from that standpoint. Because the investor, the second homeowner, everybody's looking for different things, right?
Sure.
The why. They're right. So let's talk about that primary homeowner, that second home, that forever home.
Okay.
All right. The market here is really good. I think the entire Southeast is doing well right now because of the influx of retirees. Every day, 13,000 people turn 65. Mm-hmm. Those folks are sitting on the largest cross-section of wealth. And a lot of them want to come to the coast.
Well, talk to me about when you say retirees, because I know at 66 myself, I'm not anywhere near retiring, but I am looking for a lifestyle change. So here I am.
So here, and I throw that word retirement out there because it's kind of ingrained in our vocabulary. Yeah, right. But weirdly, the baby boomers don't want to retire like their parents did.
Right. That's correct. That's correct.
So
your mother Lynn's at home listening to this going.
At 72.
That's right.
Don't kill me, Mom. But she still is an active realtor in the Florida Keys.
That's right.
Working 10 and 12 hour days at 72. So her retirement is it's not age specific, right?
No, and I think it's following in our passions. I think that we're working with what we love now.
I think you guys also have a purpose, right?
Yes.
You have a purpose in life and work and all those different things. So I think that's what makes Hilton Head specifically in the Low Country a unique place, is that you can come here and still be just as mentally and as physically active as you want to be. Because I think that mental activity and being engaged mentally in your community and with your home and with people in your home is just as important as the physical activities that you have.
It's really interesting because you're involved in an outside foundation also, which I think the mission is to bring outside activities to children.
Correct. Our main mission at the Outside Foundation is getting every seventh grader in Beaufort County on the water with a master naturalist and a kayak. You'd be shocked how many kids grow up in a coastal community that don't have access to the water.
And what's interesting about that is, again, it is, even though the focus is on seventh graders, the people who participate, it is the most age diverse group in the world. It's pretty amazing.
No, I mean, when we do our beach cleanups and everything else, I mean, you've got everything from the school kids and the younger kids brought with their parents to the active lifestyle person.
Exactly. The older adult, the grandparents.
I like to say more seasoned adult.
Oh, you are so good. You'll be on this podcast weekly as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you.
Let's talk real estate, because I think real estate can be intimidating. Mm-hmm. It can be mystifying. It can be daunting and overwhelming. You know, are there rules of the road for selecting a realtor? What are some of the things that you think are important when you're choosing who you want to work with?
So some first things, I mean, you got to have somebody you know, like, and trust. This person is getting ready to help you down the path of what is probably going to be your largest single purchase and or sell. Uh-huh. You know, so that level of trust on the front end is important. In my, you know, kind of unique second home, forever home, lifestyle, resort, residential market, whatever keyword we want to use, I think it's important to have, I've basically built the network of referral partners. So I know folks like you, right?
Okay,
so
right.
When somebody says, look, this is our forever home. We want to be able to age into this home and we want to foresee these issues that we may have later on in life. We want to just address them now. Great. Let me get you in touch with Debbie.
Okay.
Or maybe they have multiple properties, so they need to have somebody that is licensed to sell insurance across state lines and deal with umbrella policies and all the different assets and liabilities that folks may have. So being able to let those folks tap into your network as a realtor, I mean, that's my job, is to get out there and build those relationships and find the best people. Because I have to know what's going on in all this transaction, but I can't be an expert in the entire transaction, right? Got to have my mortgage guy,
sure.
Got to have my attorney, got to have the insurance person, the designer, the home inspector, the contractor. So having that network and tapping that buyer or seller into that network.
So what I do hear you say is, although you don't have to be the expert in all those fields, you have to be the expert at resourcing all of those people. Mm-hmm. So the people that you connect with, basically, I'm not going to know who to trust.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be relying on you. That's what you're saying. You're sort of the point of contact.
That's right. And it goes right back to my first statement. It's somebody you know, like, and trust. If you have that rapport and that relationship on the front end that you know, like, and trust them, when they give you that referral and you may be back home in Ohio or Connecticut or wherever looking to buy that forever home down here, you know that that person has been vetted and I trust them, so you can trust them.
You know, Brian, we're going to take a quick break. I want to come back and talk a little bit about licensing or credentialing for realtors. What training do you have to be a realtor? So stay with us. We'll be right back here on Aging in Place.
Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com.
We are back here on Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life, having way too much fun. Our producer, Henrik, and Brian are just anecdoting a little way through this interview today, which is kind of fun. We were talking about choosing your realtor. And are you licensed by the state? Is our requirements in South Carolina different than in mm-hmm. Connecticut or Utah or Montana, LA, wherever?
No, absolutely. So yeah, each state has their own licensure laws. Here in South Carolina, we're overseen by the regulatory body, the LLR.
Okay.
The Realtor Association, this is something, this is a perfect time to put this out there, is that not all real estate agents are realtors.
What?
Yeah. Okay. So a realtor is somebody who is licensed to sell real estate, but has also joined a professional trade organization called the National Association of Realtors. And we subscribe to a code of ethics and mandatory continuing education within this organization. A lot of times it goes above and beyond what is required by the state. So it gives us our rules of engagement, if you will. As you can imagine, buying or selling a house can be a very emotional. It's complex. Mm-hmm. It's emotional, right? The why, you know?
Yeah. I never thought about that, really.
Yeah. So the investor selling the house has a lot different motivations than the person buying their forever home for the family, right?
Got it.
And you
got
to bring those two yes. different whys together, right?
Very, very interesting.
So you want to make sure that everybody's got a level ethical playing field.
One of the things that you really enjoyed doing, you shared, is getting involved. And I don't know if it's the political piece, mm-hmm. But learning a lot about the hows and whys and inner workings of real estate. And you said it was really fascinating.
So when I first moved back to the Hilton Head area and started selling real estate, I wanted to get involved, and I knew I needed to learn because so much of it is OJT or on the job training.
Okay.
Right. And so much of it is having your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the community. Where's that new store going in? Where's that new permit been pulled? What about that new development? You know? So I got involved with the legislative committee, at our Hilton Head area realtors, and, was able to really, entrench myself in the community and find out what was going on very quickly. And as also over the years, I've been able to be involved in conversations and helping shape what our town is going to look like in the future. Because of my involvement with our Realtor Association and engagement throughout the town, I was able to get on the town's visioning committee for excellence. So we're doing the 20-year master plan for the community.
And again, when we're talking about aging in place for any stage in life, that has to be interesting for you, because here I am at 66 in a completely different phase in life than you are, with one, probably when this airs, with two little ones. I know, exactly. And I think, how do you bring those two populations together? Is it something you all talk about?
So no, it is cool. So we'll be sitting around these round tables, having these discussions, and it is just what you said. It is all the generations and all the different cross sections that make up any community, right? Uh-huh. We're no different than Hilton just because we're on the island or in the low country. I mean, we, like everybody else, we have a cross section of residents mm-hmm. who all see things through a different lens and optics. And boundaries, yeah.
Yeah, boundaries.
Sitting there, coming up with a common thread and value for a community.
It's really interesting. The more that we do the podcast on aging in place for any stage in life, the more we see and talk a lot about intergenerational living. Mm-hmm. And the more we see the depth and breadth and richness when you put together Clementine at 2 and my dad at 92. And that's sort of my point of reference for the entire podcast is how do you build a community where everyone feels included in that. Let me ask you a question kind of related to that. What are you seeing as far as trends in buying these days? Are you seeing, I don't want to say compounds, but, you know, kids and their grandparents living down the streets from each other? Are you seeing more, you know, grandma, grandpa in condos and, you know, kids in the house? How does all that shake out?
So, I mean, I can speak to it way more educated manner about what's happening here locally because I'm entrenched in it and diving into
okay,
it every
so
day.
Let's
talk about it locally. I mean, nationally, inventories are down. Housing prices are up. It's been across the board for some time now. Here locally, I think what you're seeing is we go back to what we said in one of the other segments talking about the baby boomers. You know, 13,000 people a day turning 65. Looking for a lifestyle, not a retirement.
Got it. I like you. Yes.
But so think about it. So they leave the New England area or something like that, and then they come down here. And now you look at their kids with their grandkids, and the kids can work remotely, right? They're consultants, or they telecommute to work, or they just need to get to their different seminars and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So what I think we're seeing in some trends here locally in our little, you know, micro market is you're seeing the kids following the parents to the forever home in the lifestyle community. But you're also seeing some of the parents follow the kids who are a little adventurous and who can work remotely and whatnot. So I think it's
both ways.
Yeah. And, you know, the condo market here locally has been hot for some time now. I think if you probably look at some trends and just what the way people like to live, work, and play right now, you know, the condo communities around here and the condo market in general fit that accessibility, visitability.
Yeah.
A lot of them have elevators coming up. A lot of them are ground floor entry, no stairs, et cetera. And then they're also going to be a lot of times close to
amenities,
like, the coffee shops. So you can walk right out your door, get in your elevator, drop the elevator, get off on the first floor, ground level, and walk over to the general store and have your, you know, cup of coffee or whatever it is you're into.
It's really exciting when you think about it like that. Are you seeing from a pricing across the board? I mean, are you seeing oceanfront homes being easily sold? Is there, I guess what I'm really asking, is there a lot of inventory in all different kinds of?
Inventory is a cross section is down on the island and throughout the Lowcountry. And this is also a trend nationally. And that actually, if you back up a little bit, goes to the fact that we had a massive economic downturn a decade or so ago. Those housing starts that should have been taking place during those downturn years never took place. So we're having to play catch up on top of a booming economy, on top of a shifting population and demographic shifting to the coast again. So there's all these perfect storms of inventory.
Well, problems. With that said, again, we're talking about aging in place as opposed to aging in the right place. So are you seeing people staying in their homes longer and longer and longer and just fitting their homes for their well-being?
No, as I was preparing for our conversation today and, you know, going and doing a little bit of background research and kind of looking outside of the bubble that we live here on Hilton Head. I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal. I was actually saying that part of the inventory crisis that we're seeing nationwide is because of aging in place.
It
goes back to what I said a minute ago. Your generation wants to once I happen to use this word, right. I know you don't want me to, but they want to retire and age in a different manner. The getting put into the nursing home at a certain age and somebody comes to visit you every 2 days or whatever, it's just not well, number one, it's not cool.
It's just not
how it wants to happen. So those folks who may not, maybe like you said, aging in the right place, but maybe don't want to leave Cleveland or Houston or wherever they're from, they're actually converting and looking for professionals who come in and put the grab bars in and switch over to the levered handles. And so it is going to create that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that inventory, because what would normally happen is that as the group, the empty nesters begin to downsize, the, you know, the 30 something and 40 somethings go to buy the large, well, if they're not buying them and they're not available for sale. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see where we get our inventory, especially in areas like ours that are constrained by geographical boundaries, such as water and low density development restrictions and things like that.
And that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it will make a huge, because we can't go up. We can't keep up with the demand by building more density.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Again, we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break on aging in place, and we'll be back. And I want to talk about second home buying for folks who are not retiring, but we may have the disposable income to have a second home. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host, Debbie Lines, and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here on Aging in Place. We're in our third segment talking to Brian Kinard, who's the past president of the Real Estate Association here in Hilton Head. Woo, that's pretty fancy. We were talking before the break about people who are baby boomers. We may not be retiring, but some of us may have some disposable income and have the opportunity now, because we may not be working as much, to look at second home options or condo options. Is that something that you're seeing as a trend, or something that's been going on for a long time down here?
It's. I mean, I would say that due to our second home nature, resort kind of destination market that we are, it's kind of always been a thing. It has been definitely a large cross section of my business every year since my start in the business.
So what does that look like? What are people looking for? I mean, is there any typical
There's no typical prototype, because, you know, one person wants the one bedroom condo that they can lock and leave, that and they can quite nonchalantly write a check for and not worry about, you know? And then you got the folks who have had a level of success and are kind of winding down that high pace, you know, executive lifestyle, that they're not looking for a one bedroom condo. They're looking for an oceanfront home that they can enjoy some of the fruits of those labors.
Well, and what's interesting that about that, they're going back to multi-generational or intergenerational living, is they need a home now, even though they're empty nesters, their kids have kids. And instead of needing two bedrooms, they need six bedrooms now. And I think that's kind of an interesting phenomena that I see over and over again. It's like, are you downsizing? Not so much. Yeah.
No, I mean, and I actually laughed with a client a few years back. They were downsizing, in air quotations, as you can see on the podcast here. I'm still a video camera.
I know, exactly.
But anyhow, they were downsizing as their kids were becoming empty nesters, and they literally bought the largest house they had ever purchased.
Oh, really?
And so we get definitely some of that. And we also get a lot of people who are truly trying to downsize, that are really getting rid of the big McMansion, as we, you know, the old key, you know, word from the 2000s and whatnot. But what they're doing is, it's not that they're not welcoming their kids and their friends and family here and whatnot. They're just choosing to have a easy maintenance kind of low stress property.
Okay.
And when their friends and families come,
They just rent
a place in the same complex as they are. Then everybody's got their own space,
which I kind of like. So then
you think about then you really get into your aging in place thinking, right? Now you don't have to take care of those extra bedrooms.
Well, it was actually really interesting a few months ago, I think right before Christmas, right after Christmas, we were with clients.
Yes.
And they have two boys that are growing up. Mm-hmm. And it was, and they're looking for something where they can have maybe a side of the house for them and they can kind of enclose that or mm-hmm. have a different AC system.
Yeah. And then the kids, because they know that their grandkids at some point are going to be, well, man, their kids were loud and rambunctious in the beginning. Yeah. And sometimes, really? Yeah, I'm learning this. Yeah. And sometimes, let's be honest, it's cool to let them get over into the kids' side yeah. of the house and have that space where they feel like they can be kids mm-hmm. and have their space, and the adults can be in the nicer, you know, entertaining area, enjoying that ocean view or the marsh view or whatever they've been able to, you know, to find.
Are you finding that people are going into the hinterlands? They're not just necessarily. And what I mean is out, I know that at least here in South Carolina, the core of Hilton Head where we live is expanding and broadening. And it's really fascinating to see where everyone is really living and who's living where.
No, I mean, I kind of laugh a lot of times to see a lot of people, you know, are moving to the coast and whatnot, but they're not moving to these towns that you've ever heard of. They may be near a Palm Beach or near a Hilton Head or a Mount Pleasant or something like, or Charleston, but they're living in towns called Hanahan and yeah. Bluffton and Okotie and Tequesta and Jupiter and Juneau and
Lake all, Nona.
Like, no, I mean, they're any of and that's because these coastal communities, they started on the coast and there's a finite source of land
yes.
and waterborne barriers we talked about earlier.
Right.
So as that, you know, those baby boomers and the remote workforce and everybody else who can choose to live somewhere different and they to keep up with that demand, you got to go out. You got to go inland, if you will.
Do you keep up with sort of national trends? Are people moving south? Are they, I mean, is it a geographic, I guess, migration? In other words, if you mm-hmm. live in California and you may want to move to Montana, are we swapping coasts? How does all that work?
So we're not necessarily swapping coasts. We're definitely, you know, traversing towards the coast. I use a stat quite a bit from U.S. Van Lines.
Okay.
I came out one of my publications a while back. South Carolina was their number three of moves.
Destination
moves. So moving from one state to another state.
Okay.
An out-of-state move. South Carolina is in the top five. That was just one van line company. I think if you, you know, take the California, there's so many factors that mm-hmm. make the why of people
sure.
moving and doing different things. But, I mean, you can look at the trends. There is a migration to the coast. I think part of that is because, quite honestly, the manufacturing of the Rust Belt turned
sure.
into the banking and the marketing and the technology jobs on the coast.
Okay.
Those generations followed those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Those folks are now finding their forever home.
He almost said retiring.
And they want to be somewhere nice. I mean,
right.
and quite honestly, who the hell wants to dig snow out every day?
I like snow occasionally.
I like to see it on the news.
I like to see. Well, you know, it's really interesting to see what brings people here. I think all the time that people come to the coast for the beach. But you've told me there are a lot of other things that people seek out.
I do. I mean, in my Cruising with the Kinders, one of the video series we're doing now is going out and interviewing business owners in the community who are actually, so they've invested their capital here. They have invested their time here and they're raising their families here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going out and asking them, and I'm getting a lot of different answers. Two of the resonating ones are the natural environment. Which clearly, I mean, the 12 miles of Sandy Beach brings 2.5 million tourist visitors here per year. It's only natural that it brings a lot of us year round
yes.
people here as well. But the thing that, that I like to hear is the people
okay.
is more often than not.
Wow.
You hear the people. Now I kind of have a hypothesis on this.
Okay.
I have no data to back this up or anything else.
We this love
just,
no data.
Yeah. This is just something I'll pull this out of.
We know
yeah,
where.
Yeah. So it's the people here, but I truly think that every community is that's what makes it up is the people. And I don't care if it's Hilton Head in the Lowcountry or Savannah or Miami or Palm Beaches or Middletown, Ohio.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It is the people that make that community, the other things around it just are little bonuses.
Well, even to add on that, if I can, when I think about the place that we live, it is not a traditional Southern community. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you talk to 10 people, probably one is from South Carolina, maybe two, but the other eight are from all over the place, mm-hmm. which makes it a real melting pot as far as experiences go, culture, et cetera.
I think it makes it an easy way to meet people too, mm-hmm. right? You go sit down at a restaurant, or you go standing in line at a store. Mm-hmm. Where are you from?
Yes. Oh, instant friends. Isn't that the truth? Well, all right. We've only got about a minute to go. And I would love if you would give us the your website or mm-hmm. your email for Cruising with the Kiners and your phone number and how we can get a hold of you.
Excellent. So for your real estate needs, you can check out briankiner.com. And catch me on my email at brian@briankiner.com. Sell at 843-301-0814. And for fun and informative and entertaining stories about living, working, and playing in the Lowcountry, you can follow at Cruising with the Kinards on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Woo, that sounds like great fun. We will do that. Thank you so much. We want to thank all of you for joining us here on Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. Have a great week. Bye-bye. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. Simplify, simplify, simplify. Again, when aging in place, it is all about your needs and not your wants. Read that magazine and then donate it to your hairdresser. Stacks of magazines on the floor can be a little slippery when stepped on. Give your adult children your parents' china you have buried in the closet. The pleasure of them using the china while preparing you a dinner will bring back stories for you to share. And don't cringe if a plate gets broken. Remember the story Beauty and the Beast, Chip the teacup? That cup had plenty of character than the cup that didn't. My mother served us Thanksgiving on a platter that had so many chips and cracks, we all wondered how it could hold the turkey. The good part? For each crack and chip, my mother could tell you how it happened. How my dad jumped and tried to scare her as she was reaching into the cabinet to retrieve the platter. The crack from my older brother dropped a gravy bowl on it and splattered everyone on the table. So give it away. Simplify what's around you. Who knew the way to simplicity can be so messy?
Brian Kinard was a great interview today. We were talking about real estate. And one of the takeaways that was really prevalent to me was that buying a home is one of the biggest investments you will ever make. So think long and hard. Find a trusted professional. It will make a difference. Thank you all for joining us here on Aging in Place. Have a wonderful week.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.